With Wookbeat, I'm Don Swaim.
I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness, starving, hysterical, naked, dragging themselves through the Negro streets at dawn, looking for an angry fix.
That's Allen Ginsberg reading Howl, perhaps the best-known poem of the Beat Generation. More than 30 years after its appearance, Allen Ginsberg is still proud of Howl.
I think it'll be around as a piece of rhythmical engineering like Poe's Raven or The Bells or Vachel Lindsay's Congo for a long, long, long time because it rings in people's ears and it also has a kind of visionary accuracy.
Howl dates to a time when Americans accepted censorship.
Howl was attacked by censors and went through a court trial to be validated by the courts as not obscene. But you got to realize we still do have censorship in America in that the poems of mine that are considered classics are prohibited on radio or television because the language is the language that people actually use.
Allen Ginsberg was born in Paterson, New Jersey, educated at Columbia, and in the 50s became open about his homosexuality and his enthusiasm for psychedelic drugs.
I consider myself American, Buddhist, Jewish, yay, also bisexual, occasionally heterosexual, dope fiend or experimenter, intellectual, radical, conservative, libertarian. So it depends what I'm thinking about, what I consider myself.
All of Allen Ginsberg's poetry has been collected into an 800-page volume, Collected Poems, 1947 to 1980.
Who bared their brains to heaven under the L and saw Mohammedan angels staggering on tenement roofs, illuminated.
Ginsberg's verse is arranged chronologically so that the reader gets an autobiographical portrait of one of America's best-known and most controversial poets.
Arkansas and bleak light tragedy among the scholars of war.
With Bookbeat, I'm Don Swaim. With Bookbeat, I'm Don Swaim. The Beat poet Allen Ginsberg looks almost like a professor these days, a far cry from the 50s and 60s when he wore his counterculture uniform, which included prayer shawls, beads, bells, bracelets, and a flowing black beard. But Ginsberg is still not quite the gray flannel type he was not long out of Columbia when he trooped to the Empire State Building each day to work at a job in marketing research.
They wanted to put out a $1 million ad campaign. Ipana makes your teeth sparkling, or Ipana makes your teeth glamorous. And I was doing word association tests, and the word glamour was associated with furs. The sparkling was associated with the diamonds and pearls. Naturally, they didn't want to advertise that Ipana made your teeth furry. So.
Ginsberg may not have had his heart in his job.
But the work I was doing statistically and making graphs couldn't be done by a machine. So I suggested to my bosses that they'd save a lot of money on me and my two secretaries and my executive salary if they'd switch it over to a computer.
So Allen Ginsberg supervised the phasing out of his job.
My reward was being dismissed and going on unemployment insurance in 1955.
Which he says wasn't all that unpleasant since he wanted to take some time off to do what he calls real work. One of the things he did was to write his now famous poem, Howl, and he read it in San Francisco, where Lawrence Ferlinghetti, poet, bookstore operator, and publisher, was in the audience.
We all had a poetry reading, and he heard Howl, and sent me a telegram saying, where's the text? I want to publish it.
Other notable poems followed, such as Caddish, in which Ginsberg writes of the death of his mother, who suffered from mental illness and who died while a patient in a state hospital. Howl, Caddish, and some poetry never before in print are part of a huge volume by Allen Ginsberg called Collected Poems, 1947 to 1980. With Bookbeat, I'm Don Swaim. With Bookbeat, I'm Don Swaim. In the 1960s, Allen Ginsberg, who heads anyone's list of Beat Generation figures, was declared persona non grata in communist Cuba and Czechoslovakia, just as the FBI declared him a U.S. security risk.
I was put on by J. Edgar Hoover on a dangerous security list in 65, just at the same time that I was being kicked out of Cuba for criticizing Castro for his persecution of gays.
Czechoslovakia branded Ginsberg a bearded American fairy dope poet. Because of Ginsberg's support of the drug culture, he found himself strip-searched every time he returned to the U.S. from another country.
If the secret police put me on their dangerous security list and I'm only a poet, then what is that? What the hell is that? That's not the America I learned about when I went to grammar school, read about the Bill of Rights.
For years, Allen Ginsberg has called for the decriminalization of such drugs as marijuana.
It seemed to me that marijuana mythology fostered by the government confused the whole drug situation and left kids thinking that marijuana was habit-forming like heroin.
Ginsberg supports the British system in which drug abusers are treated medically rather than criminally.
But sending junkies to doctors would diminish the number of street addicts and diminish the black market supply of junk by a combination of both narcotics agents who were corrupt and organized crime.
While Ginsberg admits to experimenting with just about all the drugs, he says alcohol was the worst. Today, Allen Ginsberg is more or less respectable, still a poetic rebel, but a recipient of a National Book Award and a member of the National Institute of Arts and Letters. A lifetime of work by Allen Ginsberg has been gathered into Collected Poems 1947 to 1980. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. At one time, the establishment may have dismissed poet Allen Ginsberg, but no more. He's respectable enough now to have been invited by the Chinese Writers Association to teach in China for 2 months.
Well, it was like revisiting the United States in the times when there was censorship in literature. Back in the 50s when I was in San Francisco, listeners may not remember that we did have legal censorship here on literature. You couldn't print D.H. Lawrence's Lady Chatterley's Lover, and it was against the law to publish Howl even at one time.
Ginsberg says he admires the Chinese people despite the strict government controls over both the political and the erotic in their literature.
People, individually, one-on-one, are totally frank and surprisingly light-minded and candid in their criticism of the government.
Allen Ginsberg says much of his poetry has been translated into Chinese, including his explicit language and sexual descriptions.
They just don't make a big deal out of that. They just say this is a, you know, great American poet. If we want to learn about America, we have to know his poetry.
In spite of his rebellious nature, Ginsberg's poetry more and more is being accepted across social and political lines because of its common human ground.
I'm just trying to record what I think from day to day or epiphany to epiphany as a human being, knowing my own vulnerability, knowing that my heart changes, as anybody else's heart changes over the decades.
Just about everything Allen Ginsberg has written is included in his more than 800-page Collected Poems, 1947 to 1980.
I added some things that I'd never published before that were too racy for the day or involved people that were still living.
Poet Allen Ginsberg with BookBeat. I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.
Moloch! Moloch! Nightmare of Moloch! Moloch the Loveless!
That's Allen Ginsberg reading his famous poem, Howl. On the heels of his Collected Poems 1947 to 1980, Ginsberg plans 5 more volumes. Much of his current work shows his ongoing preoccupation with the insanity and death of his mother.
My mother died in Pilgrim State Hospital out on Long Island, which is a mental hospital. She had had many series of shock treatment and a lobotomy. I wrote a long elegy for her a few years after she died.
That elegy is Kaddish, one of Ginsberg's most famous poems. Then, about a year ago, he had a dream about his mother that produced another poem, a kind of epilogue to Kaddish.
Woke up about 5 in the morning and wrote it out in a poem called White Shroud, in which I met my mother, still living as a shopping bag lady in West Bronx.
White Shroud was published in the New York Times Sunday Magazine and is the title of Ginsberg's upcoming collection.
Then in China, I had another dream called Black Shroud, in which I'd cut my mother's head off.
Ginsberg is not afraid to describe such bizarre thoughts, and his poetry is highly autobiographical, like Many Loves, an explicit description of a sexual encounter he had with Beat Generation figure Neil Cassidy.
I had not printed that because he was alive. He wouldn't have minded, but he had family. So I thought, well, I'll just keep that in my drawer, like the Russian or Chinese poets.
Allen Ginsberg calls Many Loves a major piece of writing.
Moloch! Moloch! Robot apartments! Invisible suburbs!
The Beat Generation is gone. Many of its exponents turned to dust, others well into their prime. But Allen Ginsberg's work, past and present, will forever be linked to that strange, small period in American letters.
Monstrous bombs!
With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.